My dear parishioners, this week occur some very special feasts. We have St. Thérèse of Lisieux tomorrow. I, for one, have certainly grown in my devotion to this great saint. We have her stained glass window here in the church. Tuesday is the feast of St. Francis, and one of the greatest saints of all time. We could reflect on his beautiful prayer for peace, or peace prayer. We have the Feast of the Holy Rosary this Friday. We've already begun the month of the Holy Rosary. What a wonderful topic upon which to reflect. But since I can speak of only one topic in a sermon, I would like to do it today about the guardian angels. And with regrets, omit the other thoughts that could be mentioned about these upcoming feasts. I found a sort of short catechism about the angels, and I'll just draw some thoughts from that and add other things that I've studied. And to begin and put it very briefly, an angel is a pure spirit, and there are countless numbers of this type of God's creation. And these angels are above not only all material creation, they are above human beings as well. We are less perfect than they because we have a body. They are more perfect than us because they are pure spirits. They don't need bodies. They're not tied down by the laws of physics. And I'll mention some of these powers as I go on through the sermon today. It's interesting to know that sometimes there has been such a great fascination with angels that they even began to be worshipped. This is mentioned in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he has to warn them about not worshiping angels, not adoring them. Adoration belongs only to God. But we should venerate them. We should honor them. They are saints. Every one of them is with God in heaven. So today we honor all the saints in general, but in particular those that are assigned to be at our side throughout our lifetime. The word angel means messenger. So this alludes to one of their great tasks. Maybe not for all of them, but for a good number of them, they take messages from God to us, and they take our messages back to God. It's kind of like the difference between speaking to somebody directly and sending that person a letter. And when we send messages or receive them through angels, they are enhanced because that's a role that God wants them to play. Certainly, we can speak with God directly, but they are messengers. Angels are messengers between Him and us. As we know, there are good and bad angels. The Apocalypse tells us that there was a great battle in heaven, and the bad angels, those that became bad, they were good at first, they became bad, and they were cast out of heaven after a most fierce struggle. And the good angels were led by none other than Saint Michael, the archangel. His battle cry, "Who is like unto God?" Mikael in Hebrew means "Who is like unto God?" And I don't think we have any idea how vast, how fierce this battle was, because angels transcend us by far in power and intelligence. Why did the angels become bad? We're told because the angels were put to a test. We don't know what that test was. We may surmise that it was something to do with the incarnation, where they were told that one day you angels will have to bow low in adoration to an incarnate God. He will become man at the same time remaining God. And to a prideful angel, this is not acceptable. Angels know that human beings are below them, so to kneel in adoration, I will not serve. That was the battle cry of Lucifer, and it was the battle cry of all of the bad angels. They did not want to submit to God. It could be that part of their test was that they would also acknowledge Mary as their queen one day. True, nobody would ever adore her, but honor her as the greatest of God's creation. Again, a prideful, disobedient angel found this intolerable. I can't bow before a human being. I don't want to accept God's plan. So it was an absolute rebellion against God. And from being good, they became evil. More evil than we can imagine. Read about this in Private Revelation, how evil the demons are, how much they want to hurt us, what power they have. And fortunately, it's restrained by God. They lost their goodness. They lost their holiness when they rebelled against God, but they didn't lose their intelligence. They didn't lose their power. Just one example of their power. You know how we can travel sometimes hundreds of miles an hour in an airplane? Or let's take a jet that can go maybe 1,500 miles an hour. We gasp at the speed that a jet can move across the sky. But that's nothing compared to an angel's speed. Angels move with the speed of thought. An angel can move from here to heaven, to the edge of the universe, in the nanosecond that it takes to think of that happening. That's an example of the power of an angel. An angel can be in more than one place at the same time, not having a body. The angel's not constrained by physical locality. Doesn't mean that angels are everywhere. Only God is everywhere. But they can be in more than one place at the same time. How many angels rebelled? We don't know for sure, but there is a verse in the Apocalypse that talks about the dragon, which would represent Lucifer, dragging his tail through the heavens and drawing down a third of them, tearing them out of the sky, bringing them down. And some interpreters believe that means a third of the angels fell. Of that uncounted number, one-third rebelled and became very evil. You know, it's interesting to realize too, my dear brethren, that the angels needed only one chance. We may feel like that's somehow unfair. We realize that in our lives we get thousands upon thousands and thousands of chances to do the right thing. Why is it the angels got only one? And the simple answer is they needed only one chance. You see, being pure spirits, they don't waver and vacillate like we do. That's part of our weak, frail human nature. We vacillate. One day we're stronger, next day we're weaker. We alternate. We're frail. We fail. The angels don't have a body, so they don't have that problem. So all they needed was what they got, a one-time chance. Do you submit to God or not? You know, it really is the same choice that we have, isn't it not? It's just that we have it spread over our whole lifetime. Every day we have to renew our effort to choose God, to submit to God. Not my will, but thine be done. But that same battle, that same struggle, that same choice was only a one-time event for the angels. That's all they needed. There are more than 300 references to angels in Scripture. It is true that many of the graphic depictions of angels present them as female. However, they are always presented as masculine in the Scriptures. This is not to say, of course, they have a masculine gender like men or boys do. They don't have a body, so they don't have a gender. But in God's holy word, it's referring to them or referencing them as though they were masculine. We also know that angels have ranks and organization, and I don't have time to get into all nine choirs of angels. Suffice it to say that the top three, and I believe it's cherubim, seraphim, and thrones, their main purpose is to adore, to glorify God. That's what they do. They're surrounding God and giving him that praise and thanks and worship that belongs to him. I mean, God is the King of Kings. Just like kings have courtiers around them that honor them by their presence, you know, praise them, if you want to call it that. Well, so it is with the angels. Now, the middle group, virtues, thrones, virtues, powers, and dominations, their role is what we call the governing spirits. God has deputed them to take charge of various parts of the universe, to make sure the planets go as they should, to make sure the stars do what they're supposed to. Sure, we could say there's physical laws that God created for all of them, and that would be sufficient, but you see, God makes use of his creatures. So he gives them charge over creation in various ways. And we know how vast the universe is. I mean, we can't even comprehend how big it is. I remember one reference being given that it would take 14 billion light years to get to the edge of the known universe. So traveling at the speed of sound, or speed of light, excuse me, for 14 billion years would get us to the edge of the universe. So one unfathomable calculation. We can't even grasp how large that is. So the angels are there governing the physical bodies that God has created and put out there. The lower group, the principalities, archangels, and angels, they are called the ministering angels. They look out for us. They are especially the angelai, the messengers, the angelus, the one that carries messages. And here's a beautiful truth that we need to understand better. Every one of us has a guardian angel given to us, perhaps at birth, because mom's guardian angel watches over mother and child while the child is in the womb. Perhaps we receive our angel guardian at the moment of birth, and we will have that till the moment of our death. We will never be alone. We can't be alone. And that angel is there to support us, to guide us, to lead us. He would chastise us if we do something bad. He'll chide us. Don't do that. But what a stunning realization how good God is to give us one of these magnificent spirits. Granted, we can't see this spirit, but that spirit is there. We know the Spirit is there by faith from what Scripture and the church teaches. Also, I would say we know our angel is there from miraculous or near miraculous events that have happened in our lives, or when you can see that something was averted that should have happened. That was your guardian angel. He's not only looking out for your soul, but even for your bodily welfare. I believe that mothers are strong believers in angels because they see their little children saved from bodily harm over and over and over again. The angels are at work. So we know it in a secondary way. We also read from Scripture how angels have been made to be some of the greatest ambassadors of God. You would think that God is there, that God is actually, you know, speaking to somebody. But no, he sent an ambassador. Case in point, the angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin of the house of Nazareth. You would think that God would have appeared to Mary directly and elicited her consent. But no, he sent one of his mightiest angels, Gabriel, we call him the strength of God. And he's the one on God's behalf who announced what would happen, heard her give her consent, behold the handmaid of the Lord. So that's how powerful angels are, that they are the most high ambassadors of God himself, act on God's behalf in most amazing ways. Even the apparition of God in the burning bush to Moses, we studied this in Bible class. It was an angel who is acting so much on behalf of God, you could say it was God appearing. So interesting how much God makes use of angels. Angels were also sent as agents of destruction, ministers of God's justice, and one angel destroyed a whole army. That's how powerful an angel is, wiped out the whole Assyrian army. Angels appeared at the birth of Jesus. An angel of the Lord rolled back the stone from the door of Jesus' grave. Two were present at his ascension. Angels appeared to the apostles, of course, after the resurrection as well. Angels comforted Jesus in the agony, and also St. Paul. Angels will go forth and separate the good from the bad on the last day when the judgment happens. Imagine that, the angels saying, you go here, you go there. I know what I want the angels to be saying. Go to the right hand there. So you see, God makes use of angels. He doesn't need them, but he has chosen to use them. I want to close with helping you understand more about your angel guardian. And isn't it unfortunate how we ignore our angel? Not just days on end, but maybe months or longer. Sure, we say, angel of God, my guardian dear. But are we really talking to our angel? Or just saying those words by rote? We have to be more conscious of his presence around us all the time. And he's there to help. He cannot do any harm to us. The demon wants to harm us in soul and body, but not our angel. One practical thing to help you be closer to your angel is to have a name. And there's two ways you can do this. You can either just assign a name to your angel, or you can pray to find out what your angel's name is. I know this is just a pious custom, but I certainly did it myself one day. You set aside a special time for prayer and just ask that it be revealed to you. And then according to this pious belief, the first name that comes to your mind, there's a good chance that that is your angel's name. I'm going to tell you a secret today. I'm going to tell you my angel's name, what I think his name is. And it should have never been a secret. This person, this pure spirit has been with me since the beginning of my existence, so why wouldn't I have told others about it? So I prayed one day to know, and the first word that came to me was Ignatius. So I would like you to know that I have an angel guardian, that's the name that I use. And yes, I have slighted my angel often. I have ignored him. I've forgotten about him. I've forgotten that he's by my side so often, but I'm going to do better, and we all need to do better. Yes, our angel is sad. If he could be sad, we have to say that in an angelic way, when we sin, or when we put ourselves in the occasion of sin. You can just imagine your angel saying, don't go there. You're putting yourself in great danger of offending God. Don't go there. Do we listen? I remember an Irish mother telling me, there was a saying in Ireland that when you go into a tavern, you leave your guardian angel outside. That's not true in the literal sense because our angel can't leave us, but if he would, when he sees us going into a place of sin, it's as though he would want to leave us, saying, I don't want any part of this. Ask your angel to help you understand better how we must avoid the occasion of sin and not foolishly put ourselves in danger. Your angel would weep. Our angels would weep if they saw us putting ourselves there in that jeopardy. But by the same token, your angel rejoices when you do good, when you say your prayers, when you overcome temptation. He's cheering for you. Know that. Know that when you're faithful to God, he is exulting. Remember, he passed his test. Your angel passed his test. Your angel wants you to pass yours. He knows that we're weak and frail, but he's always there to say, come on, let's rise. Let's grow spiritually. Let's get stronger. Let's become the saint that God wants you. So never forget this holy person. So I could go on and on about him some more, but I better stop there. So I pray that you all know your angel by name, and may you get ever stronger in this relationship with this person that's never going to leave you. Thankfully, never will leave you in this life here below. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.